Genesis chapter 6 as we're preaching through the Lord's Prayer. And so we preached through the phrases of the Lord's Prayer, and now we're at a phrase that really, as I study, I couldn't find much information on when I looked at my different commentaries and things in my library. I couldn't find much information on this next phrase. And so I had to dig a little deeper, looked at probably, I'm going to say, 1,500 verses of Scripture to prepare this message. And so the next phrase of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at, Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Strange phrase. When you really think about it, for those who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or don't believe in a spiritual realm, a strange prayer to say, let things that are done somewhere that we can't even see be done here in a place physically where we can see. Strange prayer. But we're going to look at that in depth. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we come, I pray that you would cleanse our minds, cleanse our thoughts. Father, I pray this morning as we stand in the pulpit, if there be one thing, one thought, one anything, aspect of our lives, motive of our heart, whatever it would be, anything that is against your will, Lord, help us to confess it. Help us to forsake it. Help us, Lord, to move on, repent from it, and move on with our lives. I pray you'd feed us now from the Word of God. Bless our meal later. Father, we've come to hear what you have to say this morning. Don't let George speak, but let the Spirit of God speak the words of God and glorify our Savior. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Jesus said that we're to pray, let your will that's done in heaven be done in earth. I want to look quickly at the earth, and then I want to look quickly at heaven, and then I want to look at where we are right now in kind of a mixture of heaven and earth. See, it's a strange statement. It's easy to understand, we know, as we've studied the Word of God. It's easy to understand what the earth is. We experience the earth. We know the earth. It's kind of easy for us who are saved to get a grasp of heaven. The Bible reveals a lot of things about heaven. But right now, we're living in a strange kind of time where there is a mixture of heaven and earth. As we live our lives, we see things physically. We walk through a physical world. We see with physical eyes. But yet there's a spirit world. Listen carefully to me. There is a spirit world intertwined with our world right now that we cannot see. The Bible reveals that word to us, that world to us, that there's another dimension. Listen, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. The Spirit of God is moving in this church this morning. Whether you realize it or not, whether your spiritual antenna picks it up or not, Jesus is moving in this service this morning. And so we understand from the Word of God, there is a spiritual realm. And Jesus' prayer here, He's teaching us to pray, Lord, as it is done in the spiritual realm, let it be done in the physical realm. Let's look at the earth. God created the earth. The word earth appears over 1,000 times in the Word of God. God is not concerned with Jupiter. God is not concerned with Pluto. God is not concerned with the comet Ison that was supposed to make such a splash. But God is concerned with earth and the workings of men upon this earth. The earth is what we are made of. The earth is what we shall return to. For dust we are, and dust we shall return. Thinking of a little boy who went to Sunday school, and they told him that he was of the dust and he was going to return to dust. And he went home and looked under his bed and he said, Mama, Mama, come here. And she came and looked under his bed. She said, what is it? He said, somebody's either coming or going. And so the dust we are, dust we're going to return. We're of the earth. The earth trembled at the marching of God. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up Korah when he rebelled against Moses, the man of God. Hell, the Bible teaches, is in the lower parts of the earth. In Revelation chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is given the deed to planet earth. Thank God one day He will usurp His authority and He will receive as the Lamb of God the deed to planet earth in Revelation 5. And you'll find that in Revelation 19, He comes back with the armies of heaven to establish His government upon the earth, and of His government there shall be no end. When He comes back, the Bible says the hills of earth will melt like wax. This earth, you hear me this morning, it is not just alive physically, but this earth is alive spiritually. The Bible teaches that this earth is not just alive physically, but it's alive spiritually. And that's why we have some fruitcakes in this world who go out and worship nature, and they'll worship trees, and they'll worship rocks, and they'll make images of the earth. Hey, friend, this earth has a spiritual nature to it. I could say that in some realms and they would write me off as a radical idiot, but I still believe the Word of God. Listen to what the Word of God says about the spiritual nature of the earth. The Bible says that the earth cried out over the blood of Abel when Cain killed his brother. His blood cried from the earth and God heard that voice. It was a spiritual voice that came from the earth. The earth cried out over His blood. The earth is the Lord. Listen carefully. And creation, listen, creation longs and yearns for the redemption of Jesus Christ to come back and to usurp His authority over the earth. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8. For we know, this is the Word of God, this is not the opinion of George. He said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Listen what he says after the Lord Jesus assumes His title deed in Revelation 5. The Bible says in Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them. Did you hear that? Creatures on the earth, creatures in the earth, creatures under the sea. They've got something to say when Jesus Christ comes back. And they say this, blessing and honor and glory and power to Him that be, to Him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb of God forever. Don't tell me the earth isn't spiritual. Jesus said when He rode into the Jerusalem and they praised Him, and the disciples said, Lord, tell these people to shut up. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these people would hush, that the rocks themselves would cry out. Hey, yes, this earth is spiritual and it longs for the redemption of the creation in Christ Jesus. You say Jesus was talking metaphorically. No, I believe if people would have hushed their mouth when the King of Kings rode into Jerusalem, that the rocks would have literally cried out praise and glory to their Creator. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, when He comes back, not as Creator and not as Savior, but when He comes back as Judge, listen to this, then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. He's coming back not as Creator, not as Savior, but as Judge. And the Bible says that the Judge of all the earth shall do right. Today is a day of charge. Today is a day of challenge. And tomorrow is going to be a day of change when Jesus Christ comes back. And I got news for you. The hope and change that politicians talk about will never come to reality. But when Jesus Christ comes back, the hope and change will be a reality. He will fulfill His promises, friend. You can take the Word of God to the bank. Judge of all the earth shall do right. Love the day of His appearing. Long for the day of His appearing. Live for the day of His appearing. The Bible says, as I live, truly saith the Lord, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Oh yes, earth is a real place. And God is in interest of the things that go on planet earth. And I want to talk just a minute about heaven. We know what the earth is. By the way, you can place all your hopes and dreams on planet earth. And the Bible says one day the earth will melt with a fervent heat and the elements thereof will be burned up. Everything that your hopes and dreams have been placed in are going to be gone. And all that's going to be left are the spiritual things, the things you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ, the things you've done on this earth that glorified God. Just one life, and when it's past, just what's done for Christ will last. And there's heaven. The Bible says these are the generations of heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heaven. Heaven is the abode of God in Matthew chapter 18. Heaven is the third heaven where God dwells, 2 Corinthians 12. Listen to me carefully. There are three heavens. The Bible says the earth is the first heaven. The stars are the second heaven. And the third heaven is where God dwells. And that third heaven is a dimension that is intertwined with our dimension now. Listen, science teaches us that there is as many as 10 dimensions. You and I can comprehend, and we function in three, maybe four dimensions. Einstein proved the fourth. We work in length and width and breadth, and maybe time could be added as a dimension. But there's 5 to 10 dimensions. And you hear me, heaven is part of one of those dimensions. It's a spiritual dimension that we can't see with our physical eyes, but we know is there with our heart and with our minds, and the Word of God reveals that to us. So earth is the first heaven. The Bible says that we're not to make an image of anything on the earth and worship that image. Hey, listen, when those fruitcakes worship the things on this earth and they worship trees and they worship the ecology, listen, hey, God's going to give them up to a reprobate mind. Read Romans chapter 1. To work those things which are unseemly when they deny Him as Creator and worship the creation more than the Creator, He gives them over to a reprobate mind. Then the second heaven is the starry heaven. The Bible says not to worship the host of heaven. Don't you, listen, don't you get involved with this horoscope stuff. Don't you think your destiny is already written in the stars? Hey, friend, if you're a Christian, your destiny's written in the Word of God, and you're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are predestined, that is our destiny, to let the Word of God take the Spirit of God and make us into the image of Jesus Christ. That is our destiny. Our destiny does not lie in the stars. For one day, the Bible says here in Revelation, now listen carefully, the stars are going to fall from heaven. What are they going to worship then when the stars are gone? And I got news for you. When heaven and earth passes away, Jesus said, My word will not pass away. So heaven is the abode of God. It's the spiritual abode of God. It's the third heaven. Heaven is the throne of God. Heaven is the temple of God. Heaven is the territory of the closest beings of God. Jesus prayed looking up to heaven. John announced the kingdom of heaven is at hand because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was about to walk out on planet Earth, being born of a virgin and living a man, a perfect, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He was about to walk on planet Earth and be exposed or manifested as the Son of God. And John said, Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first heaven and the second heaven will someday rule. What do you mean, preacher? This world is looking for a world leader. You better realize right now that this world is looking for a global leader. This world is coming together monetarily. It's coming together militarily. This world is coming together closer and closer. And the internet and all these modern technologies are bringing us closer and closer. And there will be a world leader step out on this scene, and he'll rule the first heaven and he'll rule the second heaven. But you hear me this morning. You and I as Christians are to look for the Lord Jesus Christ who'll be coming from the third heaven. That Antichrist who's going to come from the first two heavens, the earth and the stars. Hey, listen, this world is looking for an alien. Hey, they're looking for an alien. That you read it. You look on the internet. You read the things that people write. They're looking for an alien God to come and rule on planet Earth. I got news for them. They're going to get one that's coming from the first heaven and the second heaven, but he's going to be the Antichrist. And the Bible says of this, listen carefully what it says, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to the Christian and to wait for his Son capital S, from heaven. That's the third heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This world's looking for a world leader, and they're going to get it in the Antichrist. But you and I who are saved, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts, and we're to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's not coming from the first heaven this time. He's not coming from the second heaven this time. But He's coming from the third heaven, from the very throne room and the temple and the territory of God. We're to look for Him. Now I want to spend just a few minutes talking about this intertwining where we live right now. We know what heaven is. I hope we do. We have some grasp of heaven in that spiritual realm that we can't see. We have a real good grasp of what is here on earth. But listen to me carefully. You and I as Christians are in a kind of a predicament. We know there's an earth, and we live on earth, and we function on earth, don't we? We know how to work and make money and feed our family. We know how to get by. We know how to heat our homes. We know how to function on earth. But there's a spiritual realm that those outside of this church who are lost and don't know God, they function in this world just like we do. But wait a minute. We're a peculiar people. Why? We realize there's another world. You know, that puts us in a funny place every once in a while. How do you tell somebody that there's another world out there? How do you explain to them there's another dimension? Somewhere in those 10 dimensions that science says there is, somewhere in those dimensions there's a spiritual dimension. That ain't easy. And they're going to look at you and they're going to say, I can't touch it, I can't see it, I can't feel it, I can't hear it, I don't believe it. And the only way that you and I can witness to them that there is a spiritual dimension is let the Spirit of God reveal that to them through the truth that we give them. That's why we're to stand firmly on the truth of the Word of God. Listen, it's not my responsibility to reveal heaven to you. It's my responsibility to preach the Word of God and let the Spirit of God reveal those truths to you. It's our responsibility to give these truths out in the community. Hey, and if they believe it, fine. But if they don't believe it, that's going to be their choice. God has given us a choice. And I said this is a day of choice, of challenge, and of change. Now, heaven and earth right now run parallel with each other. But this is a prayer, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, whatsoever is done in heaven, let it be done in earth. It is a prayer that reaches from this physical dimension to the dimension of God, to the spiritual dimension, and says, let your perfect will that's going on in heaven be done on planet earth. Oh yes, we're in a spiritual dimension. David said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, yet there thy Spirit is, and there thy Spirit shall lead me. You cannot get away from the spiritual dimension. This is a prayer that says, Lord, just as You order things in heaven, and just as You are a God of decency and of order, Lord, just as You order heaven, let Your order be done in my life on planet earth, just as it is in the spiritual dimension that I cannot see. Listen, the angels and they who now encircle the throne of God are in perfect harmony with what God knows, and they are in the process of being obedient to His perfect will. What are you saying when you say they that encircle His throne? Listen, has it ever dawned on you that the people that we've rolled up here in the front of this church in a casket and have gone on to be with the Lord, they are now in beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. They are now before the throne of God, and they are in perfect harmony with the will of God. They're in perfect harmony with the Word of God. They're in perfect harmony with the worship of God. And not only the angels are cheering us on, behold, we're compassionate about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Not only the angels are cheering us on, but our loved ones who've gone before, who are in the perfect will of God, desire to see us here on earth walk in the perfect will of God. Let us pray the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my will, but thine be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are they doing? They're praising God. They're loving His righteousness. They're respecting His commandments. They're rejoicing in so great a salvation right this very minute. You say, preacher, I can't see it. You're looking with the wrong eyes. You have to look through the eyes of faith. You have to look through the eyes of the Word of the living God. He's not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. And they're worshiping Him as we speak. They do these things willingly. It's their highest glory. It's their greatest joy to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being removed from planet Earth, they no longer have to deal with what we deal with. We have to deal with the mixture of heaven and earth. It gets confusing sometimes. I don't understand everything sometimes. But hey, that confusion when they were removed from planet Earth and God took their spirit to heaven, they're removed from this confusion. They're removed from this chaos and they spend their time before the throne of God, who is a God of decency and order. And Jesus said, pray that the will of God, who is a decent God and does decently and in order, let His will be done on planet Earth now. They do these things willingly. The cherubims cry, holy, 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 day and night. They're employed in continually fulfilling the commands of God. They're continually performing the counsel of His own will. You hear me this morning. Heaven, our loved ones, the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the beasts, everything in heaven are perfectly devoted to the will of God. And Jesus said that is to be, listen Christian, that is to be your prayer, that you be perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. Be devoted to the perfect will of God for your life. God, help us this morning to remove anything, anything. Listen, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. I constantly examine my life, the things that are going on in my life, the things I see, the things I hear, and I'm constantly saying, Lord, if that's against Your will, remove it. Give me the knowledge of it, and let me get it out of my life. And I want to walk the remainder of my days. You hear me? I mean this with all my heart. I want to walk the remainder of my days in the perfect will of God. And I'm going to pray, as it's done in heaven, so it be done in my life. This is a prayer that says, place me and my life in the knowledge of knowing and the courage of doing the perfect will of God. Heaven's perfectly devoted to His will. Heaven, in heaven, listen, His will is done quickly. It's done accurately. Heaven does not dare rebel against God. Oh, heaven rebelled against God one time, and his name was Lucifer. He became known after that, after his rebellion. He became known as the devil. He became known as Satan. But you hear me, he will not rule and reign on planet Earth long. 7 years is the only span he's going to get. And the Bible says the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This entity that we've had problems with all of our lives, this devil and these demons and all these minions of hell and our flesh are going to be removed and going to be bruised under our feet for those of us who are truly saved and bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes heaven opens up. Now listen carefully. We're living on earth. And we're believing in heaven and that spiritual dimension, which is really more real than the dimension that we live in. And sometimes heaven opens up and reveals itself to earth. Let me give you some examples of that. The Bible says that the voice of the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis. The Bible says that in Noah's day, the windows of heaven were broken up. I'm talking about there are times when on earth, when heaven opens up and gives us a divine intervention. Sometimes that divine intervention may be in a miracle form. Sometimes that divine intervention may be in judgment form. You're in Genesis chapter 6. Let's read Genesis 6, begin at verse 11. Let's see what we're talking about here. The Bible says in Genesis 6:11, the earth, what? What are we preaching on the earth and heaven? The earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth, watch how many times the earth is mentioned in these verses. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You hear me? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking down on planet earth right now. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and forth throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of Him whose heart is perfect toward Him. Hey, friend, I'm talking about a man in the perfect will of God. I'm talking about a woman in the perfect will of God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and forth throughout the whole earth. And hey, God sees the corruptness, and He sees the corruptness of planet earth. We're living, dear friend, in the second days of Noah. And you can read that on in Genesis chapter 6. And Jesus Christ is soon coming back. And there's going to be an intervention, listen carefully, of the spiritual dimension into the physical dimension when Jesus Christ steps out of that spiritual dimension and shows Himself to planet earth. That's going to be a divine intervention. Noah found grace. Though the earth was wicked, though the earth was disobedient to the will of God, the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad there's a people today who can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that grace can be found through the cross and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about divine interventions. Elijah was carried to heaven from earth in a whirlwind. Manna came down from heaven in an intervention and a divine intervention. Jesus Christ was manifest from heaven to show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a divine intervention of Jesus Christ. Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts in a divine manifestation when Jesus Christ showed Himself to Paul, and Paul was blinded by that divine manifestation. We should be praying this morning that God would inform us of His perfect will, that He would give us the courage to do His perfect will. You ever make an informed decision? I guess I'll break into teaching this a little bit for you. Hey, make an informed decision this morning. But I've got so that when we need something physical, a toaster, a microwave, a new car, whatever it be, you know what we do? We make an informed decision. We get on Consumer Reports. We look at the internet. We interview others who have the same product. And before we buy that product, we make an informed decision. How good is that? Is it top of the line? Will it last? What are the details about it? And God is telling us this morning, hey, you need to make an informed decision. Heaven is real. That spiritual dimension is there, and you better make an informed decision and pray that the will of God in that dimension will be manifest in this dimension. The best decision you could make is pray, not my will, but thine be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've got to hurry here. Yes, heaven and earth are intertwined. Heaven and earth are intertwined. The Bible says that the Spirit searcheth the heart. What Spirit? What Spirit, preacher? The Spirit of God. The Spirit searcheth the heart. The Bible says the Spirit, that's Romans 8. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, the Spirit searcheth all things. Oh yeah, as we close the message, let's understand something. That spiritual dimension is threading right through this church. That's why the Bible says that salvation is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Wow. You mean, the Bible says in Romans, who's going to ascend to heaven to bring the Lord down? Who's going to do that? The Bible says it can't be done. But the word of salvation is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, you're that close to the spiritual dimension. That close. It's moving through these pews. It's moving through the air. It's here with us. And the only way to get right in that dimension is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Trust Him as your Savior. And reach into that dimension that's unseen by the faith of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What brings heaven to earth? Reconciliation. I'm through preaching. Listen to this. The Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, Colossians 1:20, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, I say, whether they be things in heaven or whether they be things on earth. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for our sins, He reconciled us with heaven, earth and heaven. That's why He was suspended on a cross between earth and heaven, so He would have the ability to reach up and grab the will of the Father and reach down and grab the rebellion of men and bring the two together and reconcile them in the blood of His cross. And now the only way we can be right with God is through that shed blood. I wonder this morning, are you saved? Have you reached out? Have you called on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you opened your heart and let the Spirit of God that's moving amongst us right now, have you let that into your heart? If you have not, you are lost. You cannot be saved without Jesus Christ. And you're headed to another spiritual dimension if you're lost, and that dimension's called hell. And that dimension's not in heaven, but according to the Word of God, that dimension's in the earth. You don't want to go there. It's a place of torment. It's a place of flame. It's a place of being cut off from the living God. Or you say, or do you know for a fact that you've reached into the heavens through the blood of Jesus Christ? Or is your hopes, do they all reach out to planet earth? The Bible says that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and be removed like a cottage. The Bible says one day there's going to be a red horse ride out on planet earth with a sword, and he's going to be able to take peace from the earth, and hell is going to follow with him and the armies of the earth, and there's going to be great warfare on the earth. Don't place all your hopes and dreams in the earth. Reach out to Christ. Anybody here say, Pastor, I'm lost. I've never reached that spiritual dimension. I've never called out to Jesus Christ to save me. Take me to heaven. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Are you lost? Do you need to come to Christ? We're going to wait just a moment. I believe the Lord's dealing with somebody this morning. Maybe you're just a young man. Maybe you've heard the message and somehow the truth that I've preached has pricked your heart, and God has revealed it to you not through physical words and not through a physical book, but He's revealed it to you through the Spirit of God that you need to be saved. We're going to wait just a moment. Whip out of your seat and come up here. I'll get this Bible and we'll show you how to be saved. And you can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to wait just a moment, and then, Christian, It's up to you. You have been reconciled. You know what it's like to walk on earth and know what it's like in heaven. You know what it's like to walk on earth and be touched by heaven. I like it when that happens. Praise God. God help you, Christian, to align your will, your flesh, your desires with the desires of heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Listen carefully. Both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him. This world is coming together in a culmination of physical and spiritual, but it will bow before the Son of God. For every knee shall bow. Listen, the Bible says, first of all, that every knee should bow of things in heaven and earth. But then it goes on later and says, every knee shall bow. You can either bow now to His will, or you'll bow in eternity in His will. And it may not be so pretty in eternity. Make a decision, because the fullness of time has come. God has sent forth His Son. That everything, that in Him, everything should be in Him. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead.